Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
South Africa's GDP is predicted to show good growth for the first quarter in 2022. Well, that is good news. South Africa will experience good GDP growth in the first quarter of this year, despite concerns about inflation rate and banks of Africa economist transactions index over the past month. This was based on the positive numbers that emerged in this year's first quarter, including March. We wanted to get a little bit more information around that. Joining us this morning is a Professor Peter Bauer. He's an economist from the University of Johannesburg. Good morning. How are you doing?
Yes, good morning.
So how is this good news? Because the problem is we read these things and we think, all right, so that sounds good, but is it good irrespective of the last couple of years? Is it good in of itself? How are we doing globally? So many questions. Give us your overview.
Yes, absolutely. There are a number of different tiers that I would like to look at. Obviously, we've got our economic indicators that we're looking at right now. There's obviously going to be a social element to this, and of course, there's going to be an international side to it. Starting with the economy, as of end of trade yesterday, the GDP figures are looking quite good. We've got a growth base, at least. We're sitting at about 1.2% GDP. Despite the high inflation, but the inflation could be kind of like, you know, expected because we've seen, shall we say, a large international inflation level.
I was just going to say,
right,
wherever
now
you go, this is the, yes, talk, is the rate of inflation.
Yeah, we're pretty much in par with what many of the European and American economies are experiencing right now. We're sitting inflation at about 5.7%. But on the positive side, we've seen this spilling over into our business sector. So business confidence is definitely up. Our major rating agencies, Moody's, are still keeping us at a stable position at the moment. Finch is keeping us stable. In terms of manufacturing, for example, our manufacturing purchasing managers index, that is definitely up. And then, of course, we've seen other interesting things starting to come in. For example, post-COVID, we've seen an increase in the growth in tourism. Government expenditure is up, which is also looking really good for us. So if we were on vehicle sales, which is really, really important for us, it's a good current indicator, and it ties up a lot with business confidence, is vehicle sales are also up. So in the moment, if we were still driving motor car, we'd look at our gauges. Everything's looking much better. There's definitely acceleration coming in. However, there's another element that we need to look at, and that's more on the social side. So, for example, if we were to take a look at what's happening in terms of households, consumer confidence is still very, very much down and not growing very, very, very well. On the other side, I'm concerned about the number of bankruptcies recorded. We've seen an increase in bankruptcies of businesses. This could be, of course, a large factor is the spillover from post-COVID effect. And then, of course, you know, things like, where we're sitting on a social level. Much of this is obviously a spillover over time. So while the economy right now is looking much more positive and there's a very positive outlook, I think much of that is driven by the export of commodities, especially coal and other minerals. We're still sitting with very high levels of social stress, especially in terms of unemployment level. Youth unemployment level is extremely, extremely high.
Extremely high. Yeah, we saw those numbers just a few weeks ago, and it's absolutely devastating. In order to start to address the unemployment, what type of growth figure should we be looking at? You know, we're talking now just over 1%.
Yeah.
Where should it be?
Absolutely. That is a very, very serious question, because the current growth that we have right now is insufficient to bring down the unemployment level. I mean, if we just take a look at, and my focus a lot right now is looking at this youth unemployment. There are large numbers of young people, let's say between the ages of 18 and 25. They've exited school. They're now trying to get into the labor market, and they are stuck. And of course, this is putting more pressure on households because there's very limited income in the moment. So the debt dependency burden is definitely on households is definitely growing. Households are struggling. People are definitely struggling. For example, if we take a look at poverty, we're looking, as of end of trade yesterday, the latest figure showed me about 55.6% of our population is living in poverty, and inequality is one of the worst in the world.
And that's got to be addressed. That's probably one of the most critical factors, because without that being addressed, we pretty much land up, despite growth in some areas, in a horrific situation, really.
Yes, absolutely. And where we are concerned as well is trying to bring back investment into the economy. If you take a look at the market, there's a huge amount of volatility across the board. Your DAX, your Dow, your JSE showing extreme levels of volatility, but this is mainly driven through the international impact, especially with the Russian-Ukraine conflict that is taking place. And of course, investors are going to be looking for places in which to bring their money. And, South Africa would be deemed as an emerging market. We would be definitely deemed as a place in which to bring investment money. Where we are really coming short, unfortunately, still comes back to three key areas. One of them has been electricity and the uncertainty around electricity. So that's very much an institutional factor. Infrastructure plays a big role for us. Are we able to deliver to investors? Are we able to prove to investors that we can upgrade our harbors, our ports, etc.? And now with the big tech with KwaZulu-Natal, and one of our largest, shall we say, harbors in Africa is these areas with the natural disasters is actually created a huge amount of stress for us. And then, of course, don't forget the post-COVID effect. Many businesses have closed down and they're not picking back up. They're not re-employing people to the level that we need in order to drive both the economic growth, as well as help reduce this unemployment problem.
In terms of things like the floods, like the riots, does that impede or encourage growth?
Well, thankfully we don't have those kind of floods every kind of day. It is a factor that is impacting us in terms of infrastructure. And the challenges we have is infrastructural development takes a long time to develop, along with, sort of stable institutions and all of those other factors. So we're looking at if we're able to convince investors that we've seen fiscal expenditure, government expenditures on the upside, and if we can convince international investors that we do have a stable infrastructural thing, so stable infrastructural development and sort of contributing towards the technology growth that is required for us in order to go forward, we would be able to bring investor confidence back in again. But currently, in the moment, there are so many issues around this energy, this rolling load shedding. These are very serious factors that we cannot take for granted.
Absolutely. Professor Peter Bauer, economist from the University of Johannesburg, talking to us about the South African economy. How did we perform in the first quarter of 2022? That is where we leave it.